Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is an update on the economic situation in China. As you're probably aware, China is the second largest economy in the world behind the USA. In 2021, it generated around $17.7 trillion worth of GDP. And that means that China contributed around 18.5% of total global GDP. And China is really important to the global economy, not just because it contributes such a large percentage, but also due to the fact that it manufactures a lot of products that are sold all around the globe. It's the manufacturing heartland of the entire world. So if China goes into slowdown, if the economy hits problems, that's going to have a huge knock-on impact to the global economy. So in today's video, what I want to do is give you an update on what's going on in the property sector, because within the Chinese economy, property equates to around 25% of total Chinese GDP. And as I'm sure you'll be aware if you've been following the channel, the property sector in China has been having major difficulties over the last couple of years. So we'll have a look at what's been going on with regards to house prices. It's been the biggest fall that they've seen for over 7 years. We'll talk about what's going on with volumes. We'll then talk about what's going on with regards to COVID. Now, I know everybody's sick and tired of COVID and we all want to move on from it. But in China, they still have this zero tolerance policy. So when cases are identified, they're still imposing lockdowns and that's having a really negative impact on the economy. So we'll talk about what's going on with that. We'll then have a quick look at the current debt levels in the property sector and the reforms that have now been introduced by the Chinese authorities that are designed to avoid the whole sector going into meltdown. We'll then talk about current unemployment rates in the country, which are starting to become a big problem. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary. So what I think is likely to happen in China over the course of the next 3 to 6 months and what the impact of that will be on the global economy. So before we get started on all of that, as usual, can you give me a thumbs up if you're enjoying the content? Please subscribe if you haven't done so already. Don't forget, I always include chapters. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below where you'll find links to YouTube Super Thanks and membership, as well as Buy Me a Coffee, Patreon, and Amazon shopping links. And as always, thank you so much to everybody that has supported the channel. Really, really appreciate it. Unlike most markets where the majority of property is existing stock, the housing market in China is dominated by new house sales. And the figures that have been released for October show that new house prices fell at their fastest rate for 7 years in China. New home prices slumped 1.6% year on year after a 1.5% fall in September, which was the biggest annual drop since August 2015 and is the sixth month of contraction in the sector. New home prices declined 0.3% month on month, which was an increase in decline compared with the 0.2% fall seen in September. And in terms of property investment, the market fell at its fastest rate for 32 months, and sales slumped for the 15th consecutive month. And in terms of the volume of sales, property sales by floor area fell by 20% year on year in October. And these figures are despite the fact that 230 stimulus policies have been introduced by 160 different local governments in September and October, including subsidies, the easing of purchase restrictions, and decreasing down payment requirements. And to emphasize just how bad the problem is, this graph shows residential building sales over the last 12 months. The figures are shown in green here and are all negative. And you can see that the year-on-year position has ranged between minus 20% and minus 35% over the course of the last 12 months. Now, before we go on any further, I'd like to talk to you about today's sponsor, Galaxy Lamps. And if you're looking for present ideas, this could be right up your street. The Galaxy Projector is portable and so easy to use and will light up any room with countless rotating stars and colourful nebulae. Its integration with the Smart Galaxy Lamp app lets you fully customise the colours, adjust rotation speed and brightness, set automatic on-off timers and control it with Amazon Alexa or Google Assistant. Now, Galaxy Lamps kindly provided me with one of these projectors and I have to say they are absolutely fantastic. And if you're looking for something funky to set the mood or to brighten up your party or to entertain the kids or to help them get to sleep, then the Galaxy Projector is perfect for you. And the great news is that there is a Black Friday sale on now and you can save 50% and also get up to an additional $60 in savings by going to galaxylamps.co/joeblogs, which you can access in the link below. So the problems in the property market have been going on for around 18 months. And the fundamental issue that started all of these issues was the amount of debt that the property developers had built up on their balance sheets. Around 20 years ago, the authorities in China allowed private individuals to buy property for the first time. And in order to fuel the explosion in demand for private property, large property development businesses grew up and were given large amounts of debt from all of the Chinese banks. So these companies ran around building huge developments of thousands of apartments. These apartment buildings were sold off-plan to the public, and in many cases, the public were putting down between 50 and 100% of the purchase price up front. So there was a lot of cash swimming around in these property development companies. And for 10 or 15 years, things went fantastically well. And millions of apartments sprung up all across China. The supply was fueled by corporate lending from the banks, and demand was fueled by mortgage lending from the banks. And as I mentioned at the start of the video, this sector grew to around 25% of total GDP. Now, the problem started to kick in around 18 months ago when the Chinese authorities decided that they needed to put a stop to the amount of debt that the property developers were being given. So they brought in a new policy called the Three Red Lines. A lot of the property developers failed all three financial tests that were included in that Three Red Lines policy. And that meant that they could no longer access any debt. And for the last 12 months or so, we have seen the property development sector in China teetering on the brink of disaster. Evergrande is the most famous of all of the companies. It has over $300 billion of debt, which is unbelievable. But most of that debt is held by the Chinese banks. Around $25 billion of it is held internationally, which means that $275 billion of Evergrande's debt is split amongst all of the Chinese lenders. And Evergrande is just one example. There are literally hundreds of Chinese property developers, a lot of whom have tens of billions of dollars of debt. So this enormous debt bubble had built up. And the problem that the developers had was twofold. Firstly, they couldn't access any new cash to be able to complete the builds that they'd started. So that left them in a very difficult situation. And secondly, they were unable to service their debt because they weren't able to carry on selling new properties because they couldn't build any more. So in a normal world, this would have been game over, lights out for all of these property developers. They would have all gone bust. But of course, the Chinese authorities couldn't afford for the whole property sector to go bust because firstly, we had millions of people who'd paid in advance for these apartments that weren't being built. So the Chinese authorities needed somebody to finish these builds to give the apartments over to all of their residents who'd bought them. And secondly, they couldn't afford for the sector to go down because it makes up 25% of Chinese GDP. So this was a real problem for the Chinese authorities because they'd come out and made a policy statement that they were going to cut back on all of this debt. But by doing so, they were shooting themselves in the foot and potentially bringing down the Chinese economy. And this table, which shows the amount of property developer debt that's maturing in China in 2022, 2023, and 2024, puts the problem into perspective. And it shows that in 2022, $115 billion of debt was due to be repaid. In 2023, the figure is $133 billion. And in 2024, it's $117 billion. Now, in a normal market, that wouldn't represent a problem because as a bond comes for maturity, you would just issue a new bond and use the money that's raised from the new bond to repay the old bondholders and everybody moves forward. But of course, right now, the property sector is in turmoil in China, so it's difficult to be able to place those new bonds without any sort of encouragement from the Chinese authorities. And the Chinese authorities have now announced a new 16-step plan to boost the industry and to provide financial support to all of the property developers. And this plan includes access to additional capital for developers, the extension of repayment dates, and interestingly, access to pre-sale funds. And this is quite a controversial issue because if you're a buyer of a property and you give that deposit over to the property developer, officially it's meant to be put into an escrow account. So officially the developer is not allowed to have access to that capital until they've completed that build. But the authorities have now said that the developers can have access to those deposit monies in order to free up their cash flows and help them carry on with their existing builds. And And this is something that I've discussed before in the channel, because there are question marks as to whether or not the property developers actually were putting any of this cash into escrow accounts, or whether they were just using it for general cash flow purposes. But the authorities have now formally approved the use of those deposit monies. So this probably means that there won't be a big investigation into where all the money has gone. Now, there are no official data figures that have been released, but it's estimated that this new package could provide up to $200 billion of additional credit for the property development sector. So based on the debt maturity figures that we've just looked at, that should mean that there's enough available refinancing credit to see the sector through to the end of 2023. So this basically alleviates all of the problems from China's point of view with regards to the property developers. So as we've just seen, the problems in the property sector started with issues relating to the property developers. However, the two main issues right now are, firstly, consumers have lost confidence in the sector, and secondly, China is moving into an economic slowdown, and that's causing a reduction in demand for property. So it's a double whammy from the market. It's being hit by supply issues from the developers, but it's also being hit by demand issues. And because both are falling, prices are coming down. Now, one of the reasons why the economy in China is slowing down is because of their continued focus on COVID. And it's just been announced that China have seen its first official deaths from COVID since May 2022. And as a direct result of those deaths, large swathes of Beijing, the capital city, are now back in lockdown. And the problem with these lockdowns is that it's hurting productivity in China because people aren't allowed to leave their properties and therefore they can't go to work and factories are having to close down. So on the one hand, the Chinese authorities have come up with a solution to try to free up cash flow in the property development sector to get more supply coming into the market. But on the other hand, these continued lockdowns, firstly, are causing problems with regards to people's employment and their income. So they're holding people back from wanting to buy property. But secondly, there is a general lack of confidence right now because of what's happened with the property developers. A lot of people who've put money down on deposits are not seeing those properties being built. And that news is spreading through the rest of the community, and people are no longer seeing property as the attractive investment that it once was. Now, one of the other problems that China is facing right now are changes to the labour market. In the summer of 2022, 10.8 million university students graduated in China, and those students are really struggling to be able to find employment. This table shows unemployment levels in China over the last 12 months. And you can see that the current rate is running at around 5.5% of the population. And that figure is an increase from where we were this time last year, which was around 5%. Now, in the first part of this year, unemployment levels were rising in China and hit a peak of 6.1% in April. However, the figure came down in May, June, July and August, but has bounced back up again in September and October. So the overall unemployment situation in China is concerning, but the position relating directly to graduates who are coming out of university is really quite alarming. The current cohort of graduates, which is larger than the entire population of Portugal, is entering China's worst job market in decades, at a time when youth unemployment is already more than three times China's overall jobless rate and sitting at 18.4%. In the past, the tech sector had been a significant employer of Chinese graduates, but this year the industry is trimming its workforce. A regulatory crackdown prompted many of China's tech giants, including Tencent and Alibaba, to make massive job cuts. And it's estimated that tens of thousands have lost their jobs in the sector this year. Job cuts have varied among China's 10 biggest tech companies, but almost all have at least cut 10% of their staff. Private education, another sector which drew regulatory scrutiny, also parted with tens of thousands of workers. And the largest firm in the industry, New Oriental, announced 60,000 layoffs. In China, being jobless for some time after graduating is typically frowned upon by employers, and many families see it as a humiliation rather than bad luck with the economy. Taking blue-collar jobs after getting a university degree also often draws disapproval. So to avoid long gaps in their CVs, record numbers are applying for postgraduate studies. So this is a really interesting development because China has been promoting education as something that's aspirational and encouraging lots of young people to go get degrees. But unfortunately, it now can't deliver the jobs to meet all of these graduates that are coming out of university, and they're being left high and dry. So this is going to cause real social problems in China, as well as problems with regards to unemployment and the economy. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this update because the property sector in China is absolutely critical to the success of the Chinese economy. And the authorities have really been struggling over the last 18 months or so. They initially wanted to rein in all of the property developers to bring them back into line to stop the large amounts of debt that they were issuing on a monthly basis. But the problem that they then found was that when they did rein them in, none of those property developers had any cash to be able to complete their builds. And the authorities realized at that point that the whole market was going to be in limbo because many of the Chinese population had handed over their life savings to these companies to build apartments. The companies obviously hadn't completed those apartments, and without access to any future cash flow, they were going to be unable to deliver on those new builds. And that was firstly causing major anxiety amongst all of the people who were waiting for those builds, but secondly was causing the property market to start to crumble because people were losing confidence in the sector and therefore prices were coming down. So they'd caused a problem for themselves by cutting off this never-ending debt supply that had been given to the property developers. And that's the situation that we've been in for the last 12 months or so. And we've been waiting to see what the way out of this was going to be because the two options were either to release more capital to these developers to carry on as they were, or to start closing them all down. But clearly from the authorities' perspective, letting these companies go bust was the least attractive option because that would leave them in a world of pain. Firstly, they would have an explosion in bad debts, so that would cause major problems with all of the banks and the financial sector. Secondly, you would have all of the people who work for those companies losing their jobs and their livelihoods, so that would obviously be bad news for the sector. But thirdly, you would have all of the people who'd given those deposits over also losing all of their investments. So it was a triple whammy. They were going to lose out on three fronts. So realistically, the Chinese authorities were never going to let the sector go down. So in order to solve the problem, the authorities have now come up with these 16 measures that allow all of the developers to gain access to the money that they need to carry on with the builds that they're halfway through. So that solves that supply problem. But in the meantime, what's happened in China is that demand has started to fall as a result of the economy slowing down. Now, this is partly interrelated because, as I mentioned earlier, around 25% of GDP in China was fueled by the property sector. So over the past 15 or 20 years, this became self-fulfilling because the authorities would release more capital to the banks. The banks would give that capital to the property developers. They would build more apartments, which meant that they were selling more apartments, which meant that people in China were buying more apartments. And as the prices went up, everybody felt more wealthy and demand for property increased. So it became a really virtuous circle. They couldn't build these apartments quick enough. They had people literally sleeping on the streets the night before they were releasing all of these new apartment sales so that they could be first in the queue to buy what they saw as a no-risk gamble. Everybody assumed that the price of property would continue going up forever and you would make more and more profit and become more and more wealthy the more properties that you bought. But as soon as the authorities switched off debt supply, the bubble burst and demand for the sector started to decrease. And of course, because it was so important to GDP, that meant that GDP in China also started to decrease. So that means the people are earning less, so therefore they can afford to pay less for the apartments at the same time as confidence is falling. So we had a vicious circle. So the opposite of the virtuous circle, we had a vicious circle where everybody's earning less money, therefore they can afford to pay less for the apartments at the same time as confidence is falling and stories are circulating of people not being given the apartments that they've paid for. And that is the position that we're in right now. And solving that problem is going to be much more difficult for the Chinese authorities. They can't just bring in 16 measures to solve demand for property because it's related to what's going on in the economy. And unfortunately, the economy is contracting. And as we just talked about, we've got almost 11 million university graduates who are now looking for a job that doesn't exist in China. There's been a lot of regulatory changes over the last couple of years, and the tech sector has been a big area of focus. And a lot of companies have been shedding jobs, so they've been downsizing. And all these university graduates were assuming that they would come out and pick up jobs in the tech sector and everything would be rosy. But unfortunately, there are no jobs there, and there are people actually being made unemployed. employed. So unemployment rates are on the rise in China, particularly amongst the 16 to 24 year age group. And that's going to be a big problem because that's the future of China. If those people don't pick up the right sort of jobs over the course of the next 12 to 18 months, then potentially they will be left out of the job market. And how do you solve a problem like that? How do you get those people back into employment at the right sort of level to match their education status? That is a really big challenge. By far the biggest segment of employment in China is the blue-collar workforce, working in these giant factories. Some of these factories employ hundreds of thousands of people. I reported recently on the biggest iPhone factory in China. It employs 200,000 people in one site. 200,000 people go to work every single day in that factory. That is a very large factory. So that's really the bread and butter for Chinese employment. But unfortunately, because they've got a rising middle class and a lot of people who are aspirational and now educated, they don't want to go and work in factories. The cycle for working in a factory is that generally you have to leave the city that you were born and brought up in. You go to one of these newly created cities where there are literally thousands of factories, and you will stay there for 10 or 11 months. And then you'll return home for New Year and maybe one other time per year. So you're basically working away from home permanently within China. And a lot of the educated middle class just don't want to do that. They want to do other things. They want to be working from home, working on the internet, all of the things that everybody takes for granted in the West. And so this changing dynamic in terms of what people actually want to do for the rest of their lives is starting to pose a problem for China. So the overall summary here is that the property sector in China has taken an absolute hammering over the last 18 months. Demand has fallen, prices have fallen, and volume of sales have fallen. Now, the Chinese authorities have put these measures in place to try to fix the problems. But unfortunately, it won't solve the issues, because the issue right now isn't to do with the property developers. That was the problem. And the Chinese authorities have put together a deal that they think solves that issue. But the bigger problem for China now is the slowdown in their economy and the lack of demand for housing. So unfortunately, it looks like the authorities may have missed the boat in terms of fixing this issue. And that's going to cause an ongoing problem for China, because GDP is intrinsically linked to property. So if the property market is continuing to go down, it will drag GDP down with it. And unfortunately, that's going to be bad news for the global economy, because as I mentioned right at the start of this video, China is the second largest economy in the world and equates to almost 20% of global GDP. So if China's now slowing down and heading towards recession, that's going to have a drag effect on the global economy. And as you'll know, if you watch the channel, we are sitting on the precipice of a global recession anyway. There are a lot of countries that will definitely be going into recession in 2023. And there is a high likelihood now that the whole of the world could hit recession, particularly if we start to see China slowing down faster than expected. So hopefully you've enjoyed today's video and you've seen another perspective as to how what's going on all around the world has a knock-on impact to the entire globe. If you've liked what I've said today, please give me a thumbs up. Don't forget to subscribe, and thank you very much for watching this whole video all the way through to the end.